with light winds and sea breezes. The expected top temperature, 23 degrees, after an overnight low of 14. ABC News, 10 past 10.
Bob Hudson on ABC Radio around Australia, and we're back in the 60s tonight. Strangely enough, we're back in the 60s for a couple of hours tonight, as distinct from last week. Oh, wow. Oh, man, what a bummer. What a bummer, man. There we were last week. We'd been flogging our Phil Oakes, Tom Paxton special that was coming up, and I had a couple of lovely letters during the week. Dear Bob, okay, what happened to the Tom Paxton special? One starts out from Ray in Tasmania and from Barry in on the south coast of New South Wales. I was looking forward to your special between 11 o'clock and midnight on Tom Paxton and Phil Oakes. Where was it, you idiot? Well, man, what can I tell you? There we were, the clock was ticking round, man, and we were just grooving on the music, you know. We were tripped out, man. We were really just away getting into it. And all of a sudden, just when we were going to start our special on the music of Tom and Phil, there were all these guys in white, man, playing out in a green field. Man, it was like a Santana concert. And it turned out, actually, that we'd forgotten to read the small print on the little bit of paper that they normally send around saying you don't need to do the special tonight because the cricket's on. So it was our fault, and the special's going to be on tonight for sure, truly, Raul. I have a very sad story. Small relatives of mine got to go and see the Buddy Holly musical in Sydney last week, and I couldn't go because I had an otherwise important but essentially useless engagement, and I'm really peeved. I'm sorry I missed that show, because everyone raves on about it and reckons it's really terrific, with Doug Parkinson as the big bopper. And talk about typecasting. Sorry, I missed that one. I'll get to see it eventually. I'm sure it's destined to run for about as long as the Phantom of the Opera, i.e. about 20 years, it would appear. Anyway, we're back in the 60s. Look, this time of a Saturday night, the 60s is the only place to be.
I should have said to her that maybe would have changed her mind to stay. I should have said to her, my girl, I love you, so let love find a way. Was it that she just couldn't understand a man like me? Was I to blame? I should have said to her that maybe would have changed her mind to stay. I should have said to her, like, girl, I love you, so let love find a way. Oh, why didn't I try telling her she was alright? Why didn't I try telling her now she's gone and I feel oh so bad? But I didn't try, I just stood and watched her say goodbye. She closed the door, said I don't want to see you anymore. I should have said to her. I should have said to her.
I like every now and again to drag out one of the lesser known hits of the 60s, and there were a lot of them. Things I Should Have Said from the Grassroots. Really has it. I just love the 60s sound. Whether you recognise the song or not, you can, after a while, immediately pick whether a song comes from the 60s. And if you're very clever, you can pick the year. And of course, I know that virtually all of my friends who join me in the 60s at this time of a Saturday night will just be sitting there smiling and nodding and saying, ah, yes, 67. 67, what a good year for cheap, lightweight pop. Late, the Ponytails. I'll just dip into the correspondence box. This is Bob Hudson, by the way, around Australia on ABC Radio back in the 60s. Colin and Marie from the ACT write, and they say they like the music of Shel Silverstein and the Texas Jew Boys. I'm not sure if... great name for a band, wasn't it? I'm not sure if they've confused Kinky Friedman with Shel Silverstein. Kinky Friedman was the leader of the Texas Jew Boys and toured Australia a year or so ago, year or two ago. Still around, still obnoxious. One of those obnoxious artists, you know, who... I really like people who do stuff to offend people on stage, just a little bit, you know. There's nothing worse these days. I mean, all you've got to do to win an audience, to win the modern 90s audience, is to go out and sing a song about saving the whales or how nice trees are and stuff like that. And it's a bit like crawling to them, isn't it, really? You know you've got them won if you do that sort of thing. You know, there's no real performance value in going out on stage and simply reconfirming an audience's own prejudices and preconceptions. And Kinky Friedman, if he ever does that, it'd have to be a very interesting audience, because he writes some quite outrageous send-up stuff. He in fact did have a sort of a Jewish country and western band that had a certain cult following. We'll drag some early Kinky material out, as you might say, at a future date. And also, Shel Silverstein's featured in one of our specials over past months, when we did the songs of the Beatnik era. But I don't expect people to dedicate every late Saturday night to this program. You know, I understand that you have a life to live, and if you miss that, Then I'll bring back a bit of Shel Silverstein material, because he was a very funny songwriter. Well, he's still around, but a very funny songwriter and a very funny guy who wrote, among other things, almost the entire repertoire for Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show, A Boy Named Sue, I'm Being Eaten by a Boa Constrictor, that was originally recorded by Peter, Paul and Mary, that little children still learn in primary school to this very day, and lots of other stuff, including The Ballad of Gemini Jim and Scorpio Sal, which was requested by Colin and Marie, and I've only just got the letter out of my mailbox earlier on, and I didn't bring the record with me, but next week I almost guarantee 99%. Another very nice letter from Lee from Sandy Bay in Tasmania, Lee Gwen. Someone who likes Tom Lehrer, and I reckon that we could possibly get away with a whole Tom Lehrer special sometime in the next couple of weeks, because nobody can ever not like Tom Lehrer. He's just wonderful, just wonderful. I guess the bulk of his career was in the 50s, but as we always say on this program, the 60s starts in the 50s and ends in the 70s. We start with tight Lurex peg pants, and we end with tight Lurex disco pants. We just go the full trouser cycle on this show. This is Bob Hudson on ABC Radio, back in Australia. Back in the 60s, I mean, right round Australia. Right round the 60s, back in Australia. Hey, man, that's all right. We do a bit of lateral thinking on this program, as you've... Well, they call it lateral thinking these days, don't they? Isn't that clever of them? We used to just call it flashbacks. And hey, man, having a flash. Remember when having a flash was a perfectly acceptable mental thing to do? That was back in the 60s.
The sun was going down behind the tattooed trees, and a simple act of an oar stroke threw diamonds into the sea, and all because of phosphorus there in quantity, as the delicate dig in me in Mexico. There in the valley of Scorpion, behind the cross of jade, smoking on the seashell pipe the gypsies had made, we sat and we dreamed a while of smugglers sending wine, that crystal thought time in Mexico. Grasshoppers creaking in the velvet jungle night, microscopic circles in a fluid of my sight, watching a black-eyed native girl cut and trim the lamp, Valentina bound in Mexico.
Sand and Foam from Jennifer Warren. That song was one of Donovan's originally, which appeared on the Mellow Yellow album, but I really like Jennifer Warren's version of that done a few years later. Well, it has to be, doesn't it, when it's a version of something that first comes out. You can't do it before it first comes out because you haven't heard it. a lot of the music of the 60s, and I suppose this is one reason why I was never crazy about disco, and I'm not crazy about the dance music that's around now. And for that matter, I was never particularly crazy about the sort of Glenn Miller era of music, because it all seemed to be just dance music. I don't like Strauss waltzes particularly. I don't get real fascinated by them because I'm an old musician and I was always up there playing, and I never thought dancing was anything very interesting to do. Although I know a lot of people quite enjoy it. But at one stage in the 60s, there was a bit of free-form dancing went on, and there was certainly go-go dancing and stuff like that, which there was a craze for, but there were portions of the 60s where music was for listening to, not to dancing to. And remember how precious records really were then? You would have your record collection, and in many cases it would be the focus of your lounge room, the record collection. And there you'd be, you'd come home from work and you'd think, I'll put on a record. And I always remember the lovely description my colleague on ABC Radio, Kel Richards, gave of the difference between the 60s and now, how back then when you went to visit people, they would actually put on a record because that was a hospitable thing to do. And now when you go to visit people, if they really, really like you and really want to talk to you, they turn off the TV. That's the big difference. But, I often think too that a lot of those records that became your favourite records, you probably ended up hearing more often than the person who made the record. You know what I mean? You know, Bob Dylan, here he is writing hundreds and hundreds of songs, goes into the studio, makes the record, usually in one go, is what everyone always says about Dylan's recording, and then heads off to write new songs and make new records, whereas you, who've bought the record, take it home and play it over and over and over again and get to know every lyric and every nuance, possibly even better in some cases than the artist did. And I suppose that's one reason why we enjoy listening to Don McLean's American Pie so much, as we'll be doing later on in the program once again, because I've had another interpretation of American Pie sent in. And we're still soliciting those. Interpret your interpretation of American Pie. What does the song really mean? But here's another really pretty listening song. This was one of my favourite albums in the 60s. American singer, guy from Boston called Tom Rush, and the title track of his album, The Circle Game.
Child came out to wonder. And caught a dragonfly inside a jar. And fearful when the skies were full of thunder. And tearful at the falling of a star. And the seasons, they go round and round. Painted ponies go up and down. We're kept on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go round and round in the circle game. Then the child moved 10 times round the seasons. Skated over 10 clear frozen streams. Words like, when you're older, you must appease them. And promises of someday make his dreams. And 16 springs. 16 summers gone now. wheels through the town. They tell him, take your time, it won't be long now. Until you drag your feet to slow the circles down. And the seasons, they go round and round. The painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go round and round. Child who dreamed tomorrow now is 20. Though his dreams have lost some grandeur coming true, there'll be new dreams, maybe better dreams and plenty. Before the last revolving is through, and the seasons they go round and round. Painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look.
I love that ripply guitar in the background there, which I think, just have a quick glance at the record cover, Bruce Langhorne, yes, Bruce Langhorne, who played guitar on just about all of Elektra Records albums in the 60s, very distinctive and fine guitarist. But that was Tom Rush with a Joni Mitchell song. And I don't know, I think that is an absolutely beautiful song, a really beautiful song, you know. You probably think I'm just a tough old cynic, but I think that that's one of the most exquisite songs of the 60s, and I bet Joni Mitchell made a fortune out of the royalties.
Stories.
and castles crumble, and hunger is human, and humans are hungry for words they can't share. My dreams with the seagulls fly, out of reach, out of sight. Just a silver fire, dinner alone. Crying, where are the footprints that danced on these beaches, and the hands that cast wishes that sunk like a stone? My dreams with the seagulls fly.
Joni Mitchell's Song to a Seagull. This is Bob Hudson, and we're back in the 60s tonight, as we always are this time of a Saturday night. Coming up after the news, our special that we didn't get to air last week because we forgot that the cricket was on, songs of two great songwriters of the 60s, Tom Paxton and Phil Oakes. And I think you'll find images that bring that whole decade zooming back to you in the songs of those two guys. I was flipping around the television remote control the other day, and while there's great equality in the sexes these days, a lot of people have the theory that it's only men who do that, who actually... So that apparently women, when they want to watch something on television, go and watch it. And when they want to watch something else, they change the channel, perhaps with the remote control, and they watch that. Whereas dopey blokes sit there and go, bloom, 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 and keep changing the channel all the time. And I believe it's led to the breakdown of many a relationship. But it's just something that us blokes do, I'm afraid. And I was doing that, and I was watching the SBS test pattern because it was the only good thing on at the time, and they were playing as music behind their test pattern an album by Robert Johnson, the 1930s American blues guitarist and singer and songwriter. And I thought that was really terrific, because normally your test pattern music traditionally, it just used to be old Mantovani records and things like that. And it was really great to hear this Robert Johnson record. So I just left the test pattern on and turned the volume up and wandered around the house, because, you know, you hear it in FM, good quality and all of that. But Robert Johnson, among other things, was a great inspiration for particularly the British blues guitarists of the 60s. People like Eric Clapton. This is Bob Hudson on ABC Radio Around in Australia. We're back in the 60s, and American Pie. Let's have another look at American Pie. I had a really nice letter from loyal listener David, who's actually taken the trouble to sit down and do 10 pages of interpretations and thoughts on American Pie. I'll just run through some of the main ones, because it's, as I've mentioned before, Don McLean never deigned really to explain what American Pie was about. It's a long song. We'll have a listen to it ourselves in a minute. But it's good fun trying to work out just what he was talking about. He says, it starts off, a long, long time ago, I can still remember how the music used to make me smile. This refers to a time when music reflected a simple, uncomplicated outlook on life, where music was not associated with deeper feelings of rebellion or sorrow. February made me shiver with each paper I'd deliver, talking about the death of Kennedy. Where are we now? Okay. Something touched me deep inside the day the music died. A national event in America that affected individuals on a personal level. And then he goes in a bit to the concept of Bye Bye, Miss American Pie. he talks about how that relates a couple of images. The image of Mum's apple pie, which is ideas of home life and all that means in America, you know, life as a Norman Rockwell painting. And Miss America, he says, encompasses the exuberance of youth. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. The Chevy introduces the idea of the car in all aspects of life, especially adolescence, and how important cars are, eh? You've got to have a car to hang out the window of. And he says the levee is important. We're talking about a river levee here, important for the image of middle rural USA, but it was dry, and that indicates that the way of life accepted the unpredictable nature of the weather. It was a fairly literal interpretation, but fair enough too. Where are we? Did you write the Book of Love, and do you believe in God above because the Bible tells you so? David says, for the first time, how the youth began to demand something deeper than believing in God and institutions just because they were told to. And, of course, did you write the Book of Love? Book of Love was a famous pop hit. I wonder, boop-a-doo-da-hoo, who wrote the book of that one. Where are you? Just going through a few. Oh, he's very good. He's actually transcribed the whole song, and even the bits he thought were too obvious to write about, he's left in so that I can follow the story. It's very interesting, actually. This. Moss grows fat on a rolling stone. Remember that one? Which David says Don McLean is obliquely referring to the Rolling Stones, who by the early 70s had been arrested several times and had begun to look a bit dowdy. Now here's the one that everyone gets stuck into. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean. All right. The king and queen are the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, and the queen of folk, Joan Baez. And then three things came together for Bob Dylan. Rock and roll had aroused the restive feelings in youth, who James Dean, the rebel, had epitomised. The pro-black movement had been given a voice in protest music by people like Pete Seeger and Joan Baez. And in the protest movement, Dylan seemed like another Woody Guthrie. And David says that he was the jester because he never personally took a political stance. Not until more recent years when he did that, did the Live Aid concert and got up and started going on. And here they were raising money for the starving people in Ethiopia, and he got up and talked about how dreadful a time the American farmers were having. And that's not something that's going to get sympathy from Australian farmers. At the very least. But I think Bob Dylan's at his best when he's not taking a political stance. While the king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown, was when Bob Dylan took over from Presley and being the mouthpiece of popular sentiment. Then the line, the courtroom was adjourned, no verdict was returned. The protest movement was nipped in the bud and little was resolved, which people thought was going to happen during Kennedy's presidency. While Lennon read a book on Marx, David says refers to John Lennon, which I think is pretty reasonable. And talking about the birds flew off with the fallout shelter, which I find a very obscure line in that. But David points out that was when the nuclear fallout shelters that America had built in the 50s became obsolete, as communist aggression was then seen to come from Vietnam rather than Russia. And the Vietnamese didn't have an atomic bomb. So that's a good interpretation of that, isn't it? So I must thank David for really taking the trouble to sit down and give us his thoughts on American Pie, because it really is a terrific song. And I think that it's a song that says a lot about the 60s, and now it's going to say it all over again.
Long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. But something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, and do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? Well, I know that you're in love with him, 'cause I saw you dancing in the gym. Kicked off your shoes. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. I was a lonely teenage bronc and buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. But I knew I was out of luck the day the music died. I started singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone. But that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. Oh, and while the king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown. The courtroom was adjourned. No verdict was returned. And while Lennon read a book on Marx, the quartet practiced in the park, and we sang dirges in the dark. The day the music died, we were singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this will be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die. On the sidelines in a cast. Now the halftime air was sweet perfume, while the sergeants played a marching tune. We all got up to dance, oh, but we never got the chance. As the players tried to take the field, the marching band refused to yield. Do you that I die? Oh, and there were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight. The day the music died, he was singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove a Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this will be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die.
Don McLean's American Pie, or part thereof. It came out in a couple of versions, American Pie, one on the album, one on the single, and a special one tonight on our program, just pointing out the bits of American Pie that our listeners have been writing into us about and interpreting for us, which is what we invite you to do. Feel free. Just carry your local ABC station or get to us. We'd love to hear what you think about what American Pie really meant. Coming up after the news, a special on two of the great singer-songwriters of the 60s, Tom Paxton and Phil Oakes. On ABC Radio, it's 11 o'clock. ABC News, good evening, I'm Michael Troy. Eight people are in the Alice Springs Hospital after being stranded in the Gibson Desert for 3 days. Two more, a man and a child, are dead and two children are missing. From Alice Springs, David Moncrief reports a large air and ground search began after a badly dehydrated woman.
Support the Serbian government and the armed forces still enjoy following days of anti-communist protests. Pierre Vickery, Zagreb.
President Gorbachev is preparing to address the Soviet Union on national television. News.